Tears. There are two things over the past 5 years that people say to me that used to make me really angry, but now these comments make me smile. One thing people say is, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. I can tell you that is absolutely not true. God has given me so much more than I can handle, and it has been a painful, gut-wrenching blessing that brings me to my knees and points me right back to Him. If I didn't struggle, I would not see a need for my Savior. But in His wisdom and grace, He has seen fit to bless me in a way that shows me I'm utterly dependent on Him. I cling to Him and I praise Him for what He's given me. The second thing people say to me is, Ruthanne, you're amazing, or you are so strong. I am neither. God does not give kids with special needs to amazing parents. God gives amazing kids to broken people, and if they submit themselves to Him and they give their broken lives over to Him, you might see God's beauty and wonder reflected in those families. But if you get to know those parents, if you get to know Rob and me, you'll see we're just like you. We're exhausted, imperfect, struggling, broken, hanging on by a thread, and totally winging it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Hi, Kylia. Thank you, kids, for hanging around here all day today. And I want you to get to know this family. I want you to understand one thing that is so beautiful as we talk about being a not-so-modern family. We're talking about us as a body of believers, but also individually, our families. As Tracy and I were driving back to Minnesota yesterday, we were on a whirlwind trip out to Colorado, take a son to college and head on back in a couple of days. And we heard on the news that somebody in Europe had a surrogate in another country, and that surrogate became pregnant with twins. And one of the twins was born, quote, normal. The other one had Down syndrome. And those parents who had hired this surrogate didn't want the other child, the one with Down syndrome, so they left that child behind. Said, we will not take that child. They took the, quote, healthy, normal child and left that child behind. And the woman said, I will not abort this child. I will keep this child. And here's the beautiful thing of the whole story is people around the world have already given $200,000 for the medical care of that child. Because there's something that cries out inside of us for rightness. We live in a world where people are throwaway. We live in a world where people decide, I want or I don't want, or that person is more valuable than that person. And I want you to know that that is so contrary to the Word of God. That every single person who comes through these doors matters to God. And because of that, they better matter to us. And we're going to treat everybody with dignity and love and concern, whether they agree with us or not. But in teaching the Word of God, the important thing is that we remember there is one who does get a final say about life, and that is our Lord. So we're going to look at His Word and what God has laid out for us so we can get to a time with my wife up here, which is what you're all looking forward to anyway. Genesis chapter 2, I hope you follow along with me in verse 18 through verse 25. Then the Lord God said it was not good that man should be alone. I think that is one of the greatest understatements of all the Bible. If you've ever walked into a home that men live alone in, it is not good. It's definitely not good. It's worse than not good for men to be alone. We saw where my son was moving into with five other guys. Like, whoa, okay, yeah, have fun. Take your antibiotics or get your shots or whatever. But I will make him a helper for him. By the way, I know that some ladies don't like the word helper. I want you to know it's only used of God and you in the Bible. This Hebrew word is used of God and of woman in this context. So your beef is that he said it's something that's very, very, very close to his heart. And this helper doesn't mean doormat. It means that a woman and a man will bring each other to completion in a beautiful way. And by the way, if you are single, wanting to get married someday, I hope you'll think about and walk with us through this series. And it's not only about marriage. It's about relationships in general and families in general. But if you want to be married, that you will put some of this away in your heart and become the kind of man or become the kind of woman that somebody else would want to marry, a woman or a man after God's own heart. So, and if you have been single and are single again, perhaps, and maybe it's been very painful, I want you to allow God to minister to you, okay? Through this time, I recognize that people are at many different places. Some are in the honeymoon stage and they've been married 30 years. And others are like in the doom stage and they've been married a week. So we don't know where anybody is at. All we're asking is, God, speak to us. And would you build our marriage or build our relationship or get me ready for the right kind of marriage relationship? Or if you're praying, maybe you are beyond that. You say, I'm never going to get married. Or you have the gift of singleness. I mean, that's a totally different issue. We'll address some of that along the way. But here it is that God makes the woman and he's going to make a helper in verse 19. Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Now, God does not say singleness is something that you ought to avoid. You know what he is saying is not good here? He's not saying singleness is not good. He's saying that being unloved, not having anyone to share life with, that's what he's saying is not good. He's not saying you can't be single and choose singleness. There are all kinds of other things, questions that come. If you choose singleness, then there are other things about the way you use your body and the way that you live out your life that you've got to address in the Word of God. But it's not about the fact that every single human being has to be married. But you have to have somebody to share life with, and you need to have somebody that gets you. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe marriage is not for you. But it's somebody that you know, boy, I can trust them implicitly with my life. But I look at this text, and I think sometimes we forget about that. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. By the way, men, use right in the notation here, God never woke the man up, so that's our excuse, guys. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed its place up with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, by the way, this is the first poem in the Bible. Men are into poetry, by the way. I just wanted you to know that. This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Basically, in the Hebrew, it begins, this is it. She is it, God. He presents her to Adam, and he's going, yes, finally. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. I want you to think about this with me because I want to give you a couple of real quick things that I want you to jot down because they give kind of the underpinnings for the rest of what we're going to talk about. Obeying God in marriage is more important than who you marry. And I want you to think about that question. It is not so important that I got to find the right person. It's more important that you become the right person, that you become the man or woman that God calls you to become. You deal with the sin areas of your own life. You deal with your selfishness. You deal with the things in your heart that somebody would say, whoa, caution light goes on when I get into a relationship with you. It's not about you finding the right person as much as it is about the way that you are obedient to the way that God has called you to live. A second thing I want you to know, and by the way, our daughter, one of our daughters wrote a list of like 300 things she wanted in the perfect man. You know, like, good luck with that. Anyway, I gave her, I said, I'll pray for you, but you might want to be the right woman. You might want to work on that instead. And she took it rather harshly. But so you might want to be the right person. Don't look for the right person necessarily. Not yet. I mean, most important that we obey what God's called us to. Second is that opposites attract and then they attack, don't they? Opposites attract. I mean, there's things I loved about Tracy when we were dating, like she's late everywhere. It was kind of that nonchalant, kind of that easygoing. I love that because I don't have a bone in my body that's like that. And I just was so attracted to her with that. But as soon as we got married and everywhere we went, we were late. I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. And she is being sanctified and getting more on time. But anyway, and I'm a little OCD. I'm a little OCD, and she has had all kinds of difficulties dealing with my OCD. And the things that I've got to, we won't go into detail. Those stories are boring. Better to talk about her than me. She can tell you later. But I've got lots of areas that my wife has had to push into in a loving way, say, dude, you gotta look at this area. And you've got to be less demanding in certain ways. But we've decided that since she's late everywhere, her funeral will be 10 minutes late, mine will be 10 minutes early, and then everybody will know the story right there. But opposites and it attracted us to each other, but then we began to kind of battle in marriage, and that's a normal thing. Also, we're to leave our parents, we're to cling to one another, we're to leave, cleave, and then we weave in this relationship. But that weaving process is not easy. So we'll hit that over the weeks to come. We'll get into that a little bit. But here's some keys to a great marriage. I want you to think through this with me. Preaching on marriage is a really difficult task. But as we think about some of the keys, first one I want to share with you is that you and I are no longer a child when we get married. We are no longer a child. We are now someone's spouse. And now you got to step up your game a little bit. You know, the leaving the underwear laying around and the towel laying around and not making the bed in the morning, that kind of stuff is like, you know, that's okay when you live alone. If you don't want to talk about your feelings, you can live alone and not talk about your feelings. But if you get married, you better begin to talk. You better begin to share your heart. And my wife really had to work on that with me because I came into marriage like, I am not going to argue. We will not talk about difficult things. I am going to be the perfect husband who never argues. And what I did is I began to become passive-aggressive. And I began to want to get things done the way I wanted them to get done anyway. And it was very unhealthy, and she called me on it. She threw a flag and said, dude, we're not living that way. She had to use that word a lot with me through the years. That's not going to fly. We are going to, in a biblical way, deal with the hurt and pain in our own hearts. And we're gonna walk through it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 32 to 35 says, I want you to be free from anxieties. Here it's interesting. Paul is saying, you get married, you're going to have anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. The married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. It's not a bad thing. You ought to be worried about how to please your wife. But he's saying, if you get married, it's going to be more difficult for the man and for the woman. One of the messages is going to really connect with, what if your marriage is tough? What if it's hard? We're going to hit that. And then he says, a married man is anxious about worldly things, so on, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman, engaged woman, is anxious about things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay restraint upon you, but to promote good order and secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So do you know that Paul says marriage will be hard? If you don't think marriage is difficult, you're either not married or you're not addressing the real issues of your marriage. You're not alone. If you have a difficult marriage and you've got to fight through and you've got to really own some difficulties in your own heart, you're normal. You've got to fight through it. It's worth it because what are we a picture of? What is marriage a picture of according to God's word, according to the architect? What is marriage a picture of? Christ's love for the church and the church's response to Christ. And if he shed his blood for the church, gave his life for the church, and you and I, husband and wife, are to look like to the world, his love for the church and laying down his life for the church and shedding his blood and atoning sacrifice, that's a high calling. And it's worth the effort. It is absolutely worth the effort. But I want you also to know that connection with your spouse becomes a really high value. And I mean both with work and with kids and intimacy and many different things because we're wired in such different ways. In fact, I remember a story. My wife and I were on our honeymoon, and it was our first day married, not even married 24 hours yet, I don't think it was anyway. It was the very next morning. We went to Jamaica. We got married, had this, you know, Christian wedding, and we had saved ourselves for marriage. And we'll get into that maybe in a different sermon. But here we are, the day after we got married. We're going in the elevator to go down to the beach. We're on the third floor, and we're coming down, and second floor, a door opens, and a woman gets in with a bikini on, she's a rather young, beautiful woman in a bikini. So immediately, we're in the back of the elevator. I'm standing here. My wife is next to me, and immediately I had to look down, just looking down to the floor, kind of paying attention to, wow, this carpet is really incredible, just beautiful stuff. And the door opens at the first floor where we're supposed to get out. The woman walks out, and I'm not moving. I'm telling you what, my feet are glued to that floor. And my wife stayed put, and the door's closed. And she said, pretty, wasn't she? You guys, you've been there. How do you answer that question? If I say no, then it's like, you are a liar. If I say yes, what were you looking at? So I'm like, I don't know. I've been married like 18 hours. I do not know the answer to that question. I'm totally lost here. And it began a journey of, this is a different kind of relationship than I've ever had, okay? I mean, we're committed to each other. And now there are certain things about this relationship that are changing for us. And so it was really important that we stay connected through even those kind of difficult discussions. I always feel like healthy families talk about difficult things. So you might go, how does he address that in front of everybody? Well, Tracy might mention some of that a little bit later, but I want you to think about this, and I'd like Tracy to come up at this time because we've got just 10 minutes left. By the way, we're going to go to 11:45, just for those of you who like to check the clock. She'll come up. What I want you to do is I want you to text questions. I'll get them on my iPad, and we will answer them together. But let me fill in some of the other blanks. I want you to enjoy the differences in your spouse. Enjoy them. In fact, not only enjoy them, but celebrate them. I remember I was coaching boys in thank you, Tracy. She loves to be in front of people, by the way. I was coaching girls in softball. And out of the dugout, you know, girls sing during softball. They chant. They have these songs. It was kind of freaking me out the first time it happened. Three is her number. Stephanie is her name. She is one reason we're going to win this game, or something like that. Anyway, and I was like, what are you doing? We're competing here. You don't sing from the dugout. And because I had only coached Little League. I only coached boys. And boys are like, there ain't no flies on us. There ain't no flies on us. There might be flies on you guys, but there ain't no flies. That's guys. But I noticed that there were extreme differences. And it dawned on me as a young dad that we have those differences. I know I'm touched. I'm a little not so bright sometimes. But we had to learn to enjoy the differences in our marriage. A couple of other quick things. Marriage is not meant to meet all of our needs, but it's rather meant to make you and I holy. And then also that most marriages fail because emotional connection is lost. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It's not because typically the reasons you believe that marriages fail. Marriages typically fail because couples just do this emotionally. They don't talk. They don't share their hearts. And also, seek wisdom from a trusted couple when you get stuck. Don't stay stuck. And then finally, I want you to love your spouse in the way that you need, or that they need to be loved, not in the way that you assume that they need to be loved. But get to know them. Study your spouse. Now I'm going to go to, I hope you've sent us some questions. When I refresh this, I hope some, oh yes, definitely. Good job. A couple of them we couldn't answer in the first service. We're like, that's inappropriate. I'm not answering that. Some people asked what my answer was in the elevator, so don't go there anyway. Why in both marriage and family does it feel like children are always almost dragged into it? I'm not sure. Do you understand the question? Okay. We don't understand the question. Sorry. Text it again if you want to. How do you handle a dad that is dealing with pride and will not admit when he is wrong? So maybe a child sending this. How do you deal with that? How would you deal with a man, me, if I'm prideful? How do you handle that? How are you honest with me about things that you see in my life that you need to be addressed?
That's a tough one. Whenever there's issues with Mike where I feel like things are not right, I have gone to God in just prayer, just preparing me, talking to him about it, and also also preparing Mike's heart to receive it. And that's the only thing that gets us through things is just God.
The prayer is essential. Don't ever confront a spouse, husband or wife, without asking God about it first. Because what you're assuming then is you're not going to deal with your own heart then. If pride is the issue in that person, then you need to know that God already knows that. Mm-hmm. And you need to say, God, I agree with you. This person's dealing with this pride. And I want you to do battle for me, but I have to address it. Pride is the key word there, because we have to address sin, don't we? We have to in each other. We have to be gently addressing sin. Here's a caution I would give you. Be careful not to say you are prideful. Here's why I say that, because then we kind of become the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that nobody can speak to your heart except God. You can say it feels as if you're acting in pride. That's way different than you are prideful, because only God can speak to the human heart. I hope that makes sense. And then you say, it feels to me as if you're acting in pride. That's very different than saying you are prideful or you are arrogant or you are selfish or you are whatever. That's God's job to convict the human heart in that way. Does that make sense? We do that with your children as well. Don't say you are, just say it feels as if, and here's what I'm sensing that we're dealing with here. I hope that makes sense. Another question was, who does dishes after dinner? I don't know about that. Anyway, next question. We put them in a dishwasher. I don't know who does them. We both do. How do you handle arguments on your way to church on Sunday mornings? That's really easy. We don't ride together. That's a simple one. How should you handle it? First of all, you should know that you're going to be under attack on Sunday morning. Because if you're going to come here and hear the Word of God, and it's a time when your family is going to be exposed to truth, then you better believe there's an enemy that wants to divide you before you even get there. Husband, wife, husband, kids are going to be crazier on Sunday morning than ever. You've got an enemy but if you're a family that wants to get up and get to with God's people in God's place, not God's house, because it's not a house that he lives in, he lives in our heart. But if you want to get there and hear truth, you're going to be under attack. And so prepare yourself. And even the night before, as a family, just pray and go, you know what, God, we just want tomorrow to be a day for you. And, you know, we wake up fighting, we throw toast at each other, we're just mad. We hate each other by the time we get to church. Pray about it the night before and just ask God to, God, would you just protect us in that? Husbands and wives, and know that you're under attack so you don't attack each other, okay? Be careful with that.
Well, in fact, our time is usually Saturdays. Like even yesterday, I could tell that Mike was struggling on our drive. I didn't know what with, if I had done anything or whatever. So I just immediately just started praying, because I thought he's got this sermon on marriage, and usually that's what Satan will attack if you're bringing truth to the body.
Now, she was driving, so I don't know if that has anything to do with how I was feeling, but no, kidding. I'm kidding. She's a great driver. Excellent point. Thank you, Trace. There's a thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Either of you ever have jealousy issues? Interesting. Yes. That's enough. We're going to the next one.
That one is kind of the same thing with the elevator issue. It was
going back to the elevator, are we?
Back to the elevator. We're going to hit that hard. No, I mean, guys are visually attracted to women, and women compare each other. I mean, you compare yourself to other women, so they battle against each other. And we just had to, I mean, Mike honors me in the way when something comes on TV, he'll turn it off, or he'll look at me and avert his eyes, or anything in public or whatever.
Give her a big kiss.
But as women, we need to be praying for our husbands in that area, because it's an area of struggle, and we have to show them trust. And I think that is huge in them being able to overcome it. It's just prayer and trusting.
Oh, yeah. Them. Definitely. So jealousy is sometimes of a friend. Maybe a friendship has gotten too close, or maybe it's eyes wandering, or maybe it's, somebody who you connect with in a way that maybe your spouse you're not connecting with, you've got to talk about it, and you have to say, first of all, we've been really cautious not to have close friends of the opposite sex in our married life. And that's difficult. That's really hard to do. But we've been really careful about that. And that has protected our marriage in deep ways. Now, some of you work together with people, even travel with people. And it makes it very, very hard not to have those times of jealousy. And so what I want you to do is I want you to be open with your spouse. Talk about it. Pray about it together. And again, if you're emotionally connected to your spouse, you're not going to wander. If you have asked God to be in the middle of it, and you have an emotional connection and deep love together, it's going to be a barrier that's going to be very difficult for the enemy to get to. So that jealousy issue has got to be talked about. How do you celebrate the differences in each other? We have several differences, and the way we celebrate them is we laugh about them now. I can joke about her being late everywhere, and she knows I'm not ripping her personally, right?
Right.
Right. And she can laugh about my OCD and like, really, seriously, you care about that? Like, well, yes, absolutely. So we just tease each other, and it's become something that used to rub hard against one another, and now it's something that we just celebrate in each other, and we laugh about it when we see it in our kids.
And we appreciate it about each other because because we're opposite, we refine each other in that. We become more the other way. In fact, we took my son and his girlfriend out to eat, and we were finishing up. Mike got up from the table. Do you care if I share this? Got up from the table to pay the bill, and he's kind of like, okay, let's go. We got to go. You know, just
I mean, that's the way it should
always.
Be.
And
the way it should be. You're done, you move on.
So my son looked at me. He hadn't come back, and he looked at me. He goes, I bet Dad's in the van just waiting for us right now.
If I had a watch anymore, I'd look at it.
And he wasn't, but, you know, it was an opportunity that I was able to say, you know, that could be, but we have learned to appreciate that about each other because I am way more laid back and he's more that way, and we just kind of help each other, so.
Yeah, I'm regimented. Good. I know that, and I scare people in the office here, too. I apologize to our staff because they're like, dude, come up for air, but anyway. How do you deal with awkward situations with the in-laws? Never had any. How do we deal with them? That's a great question. I let her deal with her parents, and I deal with my mom. In other words, we're not going to cross over into telling each other what's wrong with their parents. But we talk about it, and if we have an issue that we need to address, it's that individual. I mean, man, it's really hard for you to address concerns with your own mom. And when lines have been crossed, and like, you're coming on Christmas Day this year, right? Well, no, we did last year. We're promised we're going to their house. Well, you know, I'm really disappointed in you. Well, sorry, we're keeping our word to them, just like we keep our word to you. We need to be honest like that with in-laws. And even, by the way, it will get worse for a while before it gets better. And the same principle applies to daughter-in-law or son-in-law, to parents. You be honest in love. And the Bible says, speak the truth in love, and we'll all grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, we take it, it's not been easy all the time, but, you know, Tracy's parents are awesome, and my mom is awesome, but they have their issues, and we have to deal with things. And most importantly, we have to be in agreement, I would say. There's some other questions. We only have 2 minutes left. As parents with 5 children busy with lives, priority of marriage becomes challenging because we're serving the blessing God has given us. And the next word is what? There's not a exclamation point or anything, but, and also advice for couples staying close emotionally. So that person got 2 questions in, but what would you say about that? Staying close emotionally, or how do you raise, we raised 4 kids and stayed close as a married couple, but there were definitely times that I felt like I'd like my wife back. I mean, there are definitely times I'm like, I know you're taking care of these little people, but man, can we have some time? How did you deal with that?
I think you have to realize that things go back and forth. I mean, sometimes you seem very close together and things seem to be right on. And then there's times of we haven't seen each other for days. And but I think the one thing that helped us is that we started walking. when our oldest was old enough to be able to stay home with the three younger ones. And we started walking, and we could talk about anything, and we could talk through everything without interruptions. And so that was huge.
Not even yesterday. We had an hour-long walk yesterday because we needed it physically, but also emotionally. And we've been in a van together, you know, for 8 hours, and we needed to connect emotionally because when you're looking through a windshield, you're not really doing that. But we found when we walk together, men are relational doing something together. So maybe that's a hint to you ladies. Get them to do something with you, and they'll talk to you. And I find that men, our guard comes down when we do things like walk or, you know, hunt. And anyway, I'm kidding. Now, hunting may be something you enjoy, but just that thing together, right?
Right. And then the other thing I was going to say, too, just that connection is with kids, make sure you go to bed at the same time every night.
If you can, if you're able to.
Yeah, if you're able to, because that's the time that you really talk and connect other things.
Yeah.
But
careful, you're in church. Be careful with that. We are married, though, so it's a good thing.
But men also, the one thing is men relate better or feel closer to their wives if you're physical with them, which is just a fact of life. And so if your relationship is strained, somebody's got to take, women are more communicative with other women and they relate on a deeper level, but men need that physical connection before they can go deeper emotionally. So
that's very true. Well said. I don't know where to go from there. Praise God. I mean, am I getting red? Okay. The verse on the screen says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. So anyway, we better quit. You guys, awesome for sharing. Thank you for sharing your questions. There's so many more, and emotionally, some of the questions about how do you respect each other or how do you forgive each other, those kind of things. The Bible says that we are to respect each other. The Bible says we are to forgive. And so we've got to go to the Lord and say, God, do this work in me. Help me to forgive. And how many times are we to forgive? Do you remember? 70 times 7, right? And that was meant to be an exaggeration so that we're not talking about if there's an area that has broken the covenant of marriage. There are some times where the covenant has been broken, there is no marriage relationship anymore. And we're not saying just forgive and let that happen over and over again. Because God doesn't want you to live in that kind of an abusive environment. But when there is an issue that needs forgiveness, we've forgiven each other quite a lot. We have, and you got to work on that because none of us deserve forgiveness. None of us deserve what God gave us. And so we got to go back to that foundation. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the privilege of serving here. Tracy and I are so blessed to be a part of this body at Trinity. We love marriage. We want to have a high view of marriage as a church family. And we also recognize that there's a lot of pain when we talk about marriage and family. So God, we're trusting your Holy Spirit to minister to the people here in a beautiful way, in like only you can. We don't want to be modern family. We want to be not so modern family. We want to be thus saith the Lord. And Father, in that you give us life and you give us purpose and you give us hope. And Christ is shown to the world. And that's really our goal, is for Christ to be glorified through our homes. And so Lord, as everybody else may be around us, is saying, come my way, go my way, do whatever you want, have your own way. You're saying, as for me and my house, we need to serve the Lord. And so, God, we cry out to you. We need you. And I want to thank you for this day, and I thank you for time of worship, talking about real things as a family. And I pray this will stir great discussion today around tables together. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have an awesome Sunday.